What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Down with the king topic of the day, and it has been the Knicks. We've talked about Mitchell Robinson and the idea of having the Knicks keep Mitchell Robinson and hope that he could come back and get healthy and stay healthy, which I believe, BT, can be the difference in them winning a championship or not. And you have been more open to the idea of trading him because you're less risk adverse thinking that Mitch cannot stay healthy.
I would say more than open, I would actually be motivated to trade him. You know, and it's nothing about Mitch as the player. It's all about Mitch's reliability or lack thereof. And he's just not on the court enough. And for a team that is chasing this championship here, the window is what it is. It's not 5, 6, 7 years. It's just not. It's probably 2 or 3 years based on the age and based on the roster, based on the money, based on the rest of the NBA. Some young teams are going to start coming. Like, we worry about the Thunder and the Celtics and the Cavs. A couple young teams up there that are rising before you know it. That always happens. So I think the window's now. I am happy that Ian gave us a path where they could acquire somebody without getting rid of Mitch. I wasn't sure if that was possible. I'm not looking to get rid of him for nothing.
Right.
I'm not looking to give him away, but I need insurance. If you can make somebody, if you can make a small move and get somebody in to back him up, and then if he's healthy, now it's go time. Yeah. Now we're good.
That's actually what I was going to ask you next anyway, and in case you missed Ian Begley or anything from the first couple of hours, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Now that Ian made a path that it is possible the Knicks could get, say, a Valanciunas and keep Mitchell Robinson, that would make you want to then
I would maybe be thrilled.
Yeah, okay.
I'd be so happy.
Because you're still getting what you want with the potential of Mitch still coming back. And still think, even if they added Valanciunas or whatever other big that you want to talk about, we've mentioned some of the names, fine. Without Mitchell Robinson coming back and being the elite rim protector that he is, I don't think the Knicks can win a championship. I can't believe that of all the talent they have, making the trade for Bridges, making the trade for Karl Anthony Towns, of all the big names, the superstars that the Knicks have, certainly offensively, but all the players that they have, it still comes down to whether or not Mitchell Robinson can come back healthy, stay healthy, and be that rim protector for him.
Listen, here's where the NBA's really, really, really changed a lot over the years. You think about, like, back in the day, you'd have a contender, like, take the Pistons, the Bad Boys, or even the Celtics, when they had Bill Walton on their bench. And we know that the Pistons had a lot of big men like John Sally, James Edwards. Of course, I don't mean starters. I don't mean Lane Beer. I mean other guys. So back then, think about how this has changed. Now, back then, if you were a team that had a chance to win, you could find somebody who's 7 feet, has got 6 fouls, 260, 270, maybe not get up and down the court too much, block some shots, and play 15, 18 minutes at a pinch if you have to. But the way the game has got, the modernization of the game, everybody's a wing, or everybody's yo-yoing on the perimeter, and everybody's shooting 30-foot threes coming up. The big man, the number one, there's no big men in college, very few, and the big men that are playing the five in college are bouncy and aren't 7'1", 270 anymore, really. They're shooters. So what the Knicks need, it's really just not out there because it's a dying breed.
Right, totally different game. So, but they still, look, it is at least clear what they need. I mean, obviously, there's nothing you can do about getting Mitchell Robinson back, but it is clear what they need, and they still have the potential to get it It just takes some help from Mitchell Robinson. And again, maybe they could do that in addition to making a depth piece, which now really takes them to another level. We also talked about Karl Anthony Towns and what he wasn't playing last night in Philadelphia, so it was about what he was wearing last night in Philadelphia. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Jerry is calling from Wilton, Connecticut. What's on your mind, Jerry?
Hey, guys. First of all, it's a pleasure to speak with Brandon Tierney and Sal Lifata. I want to just put that in there.
Yes, Jerry. Well enunciated, Jerry.
Yeah, good.
Look, I've got 2 points on the Robinson thing, but I think the first one's going to get a reaction, so maybe you'll bring me back for the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Am I the only one out there that is still viscerally frustrated that this latest injury with Robinson, and look, I get the history, seems to go back to something that Joel Embiid did intentionally in that playoff game? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's got to be a difference between getting hurt and being hurt. And maybe this is a little bit different, you know?
It's a really good point. I mean, it's kind of been lost in the details because so much time has elapsed here, but I almost think that I hear you. I don't get the other point. I do hear you, Jer. But to me, it's less significant because it's just that a surgeon went in and cut up his ankle again. Like, yeah, I get it. Like, it's dirty, and we should be pissed, and we were. And that dissipated over time because you're going to get wrapped up in the Yankees and Soto and the Mets and blah, 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 Jets, Giants. You're not wrong, but I almost don't care how he got hurt. I mean, I do, but I don't care as much as you because when you're on the operating table again and you're 7'1", 260, and it's your foot, that's just bad, no matter how you got hurt.
No, it's a fair point. Look, the second thing, look, here's why I think people talk about Ariel Hakporti as much as they do. And Sal, it goes back to something you said. Look, I get the whole thing about, you know, the coaches know more than we do as fans and what we see, but I do feel there's a difference between that and a coach having a rookie bias. And I would support that by saying, look, Mitch Robinson was very much the same kind of guy that Ariel Hakporti was. He was a second round flyer. There wasn't much tape on him, so, you know, he was sort of an unknown quantity. Would he have developed under Fibs in that first year?
See what I mean?
Right.
It's hard.
Right, but, and thank you for the call, Jared.
It's a good point.
I think it is a great point. I don't look at it as a rookie bias. Now, again, I grew up watching Pat Riley, who would do the same thing, and obviously Tibbs is part of that coaching tree. It's not a rookie bias. It's a coaching thing and a philosophy where you're not trusting a team with championship aspirations, where you're not relying on a rookie to have important minutes there. He is developing Hakporti, letting him sit back, learn in practice, watch how the big guys do it, the professionals do it, learn, get coached by Tibbs and the staff before eventually being led into the system, whenever that is, at the end of this year, next year, 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's just, oh, he's a rookie, I'm never going to play him. I think it's a lack of trust in rookies because he wants them to be coached the way that he feels they need to be coached to have impactful minutes under him.
But it doesn't mean that he doesn't miss something that might change things under his nose because he's so beholden to his ways. I think that's what the caller's saying. I don't know the answer. Yeah, I mean, well, you put him out there, it might be a complete stiff, like regularly. I don't know. There's a rawness there. I get it. And Tom Thibodeau wants somebody who's refined, understood. Now I'm just going to start saying his whole name. I just scrapped the condensed version.
You brought it out there. Like, I think it was a good point, but now...
Well, because everybody knows it. Somebody had to say it.
I know, but now every time we say his name, we're going to be thinking about saying it.
Well, maybe we'll think about saying it right. Maybe that's my point.
Well, it is.
I'm going to get us on the path to being right.
Okay. All right. So you want to keep it consistent with Thibodeau and Thibs?
No. Well, I don't know that I want to. No. I just was curious why we don't. Yeah. And now maybe I want to. Be different.
Anyway, I just trust him as a coach. So I'm not going to go. I don't think the difference in the Knicks winning a championship or not has anything to do with Hakporti. That's the way that I would
put it. Listen, I trust him too. I really do. I respect and I value what he's about. No championships. So there's a limit on the trust. It's not blind faith.
Right, but again, now
it's not Pat Riley.
It comes down to the
Parcells.
It comes down to the conversation we were having earlier in the week, I think, at this point, BT, where, like, how nitpicky are we going to be when it comes to, oh, yeah, they didn't win a Super Bowl, or, you know, whether it's the Tomlin conversation Reed or Cowher before they ended up winning a Super Bowl. Aaron Judge in the postseason. Yep, Charles Barkley. Like, oh, well, yeah, he didn't win a world. He didn't win an NBA championship. What good is Tibbs? He can't win a championship. Like, he's still been a great coach with multiple franchises building them up. So I still value that more than just a singular championship, let's say like a Brian Billick.
That's a really good point, too, because I have said that. Like, yeah. I always look at Ewing as this example. Like, Patrick Ewing, and no disrespect to your boy Starks, who I love as well, mm-hmm. and Mace, rest in peace, and the crew, we loved them. They were great. They didn't win, but like most of Pat's career, he was carrying a B-minus squad to the you know, 50-something wins and just keeping them relevant. And Patrick is penalized by some, you know, the Stockton, Malone, Barkley thing, a few, well, oh, you didn't win. I understand, Dan Marino, you didn't win, but you didn't win because you didn't have anything around you. Like, I almost think that there's more of an accomplishment in elevating an average product to slightly below champion than almost elevating a terrific product to a champion product. I think the gap is wider in the first one. So having said that, I don't even know if I have mine. A little quiz here. Who do you think is the greatest coach in any sport to never have won a championship? Doesn't even have to be from our city. I got one that popped in my head from basketball. Jerry Sloan from Utah.
Okay.
Every year he was right there. Yeah. You know, anybody else? What about Bobby V? No? I think you love Bobby V.
I do, but like what I said.
I know he's no Terry Collins. I know Bobby V didn't get your suit. I mean,
No, TC's the man. No, Bobby V I like too, but I don't know if I'd put him up on that list. I have to take time to think about
it. Buck Showalter?
Specifically, yeah. I mean, he would be one. I'd certainly put him ahead of Bobby V.
So would I.
Bobby V, put
so
it that way. I want to look, take a deeper dive into the NFL or NBA, but I'm glad you touched on Jerry Sloan there for a second because you mentioned Stockton and Malone. The reason why I would even knock those two guys more so than Ewing would be because Stockton had Malone.
Yes.
Malone had Stockton. Ewing had nothing close to that.
That's another good point, too. And by the way, Russell wasn't terrible. Hornacek wasn't terrible. Yeah. They had some other cats. Marv Levy. Look at Dove with a nice... forget about a nice. How about a singular contribution to the show?
Yeah. Oh,
good job, Dove.
Come on, now you're ripping Dove.
Nah,
that's
just
not
kidding,
right
Dovey.
Either. Dovey! Yeah.
Marv, that's a good one, though.
About him. All right, let's get back to the phones
That's
here.
That's good.
Connor is in Metuchen. Connor, you had an issue with Cat's attire last night?
Yeah, so I live in the town that Cat played high school ball in. Met him playing pickleball at his high school right after he got drafted. I was in about eighth grade.
I'm sure you held him up, right? Kept him to no points?
Yeah,
you bottled him
up?
Yeah.
Good.
We are probably 60-40 in favor of the Giants down here.
Okay.
So I did not like him wearing that. And then one guy I think would fit the Knicks really well is Isaiah Stewart from Detroit. I think he's really tough. He plays good defense. I think he would be a perfect fit with
the
team.
He is tough. I don't know if they're looking to get rid of him. I mean, the Pistons, and by the way, the Pistons have beat the Knicks twice at the Garden this year. Twice.
I didn't even realize that.
Twice
at the Garden?
At the Garden in the
first
last
time
month.
Was earlier in the year? Oh, no, it was recent?
And fairly. Well, the last one was very recent.
Yeah,
and
that
the one before that was, I want to say, about a month or so ago. Don't quote me on that. But, I mean, the Pistons are over 500. Pistons are moving. Are they going to look to strip down or add? I don't know.
Yeah, the loss the other night to the Pistons, to me, was the worst loss that they've had of the year. And they've had some bad ones in this rough stretch. I didn't realize they were earlier in the year. When was this game?
November?
Well, yeah, that was home versus Detroit.
They lost two home games.
Whatever it was. I don't know why the date's not coming up.
Maybe late November, but they definitely lost twice to the Pistons.
Yeah, well,
at the
it was November 1st.
Oh, okay.
November.
All right.
No, wait, I'm sorry. They beat Detroit. They squashed Detroit in November.
There.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
First. Then they lost December 7th. Yeah, 120 to 111, and then they just lost in January. Yeah, so it was December 7th earlier in the year. Alex is in East Quogue. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
You kind of blew my call when you mentioned Buck Showalter a minute ago. Tibbs is the Buck Showalter of the NBA. He goes to a franchise, totally professional, hardworking, really good coach, builds the franchise up. Inevitably, it starts going on the downside, and he moves on. He will never sniff a championship. He's too inflexible. Times have changed. You know, I would have loved if the Knicks held on to – kept Johnny Davis around as the heir apparent, not fired Tibbs, but kept him around as the heir apparent. Now he's with Kenny Atkinson.
Yeah.
I think they're going to miss it. One quick point. Ian Begley – I love this cult of Tibbs. Ian Begley – spent most of his time talking about how great a coach he is, but then he says, I have a problem with him in the last 3 minutes of a game when they're down or up by 25, having the starters in. There's no excuse for that, especially for a coach who plays his starters that far, that many minutes of the game.
I agree.
It can't be both ways. Yep. It cannot be both ways.
That's unacceptable, that part. Like, I get it. Like, if you're married to... you know, a certain philosophy that has gotten you to a certain point, then you're just either incapable or unwilling to change it, whether it's an offensive or a defensive thing. That's like, I can understand that. I can start, like, rationally, and say, all right, you know, it got him to this point, and maybe didn't win a championship, but a ton of success, regular season, deep runs, postseason. Guy's just a really good coach, but, you know, he's missing this one element. The thing, like, what Tom...
You screwed yourself with this one, man.
What Tibbs does now, this is the one part that's infuriating because it's the most correctable thing. Dude, when you're up 17 points and there's 4.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, sit down.
I agree.
What the hell is so hard about that?
There's no good answer for why his star players would still be playing after they play 35, 38 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever, why you'd be playing them down the stretch in a blowout game 20-point way. Either way, here's where I'm going to push back on Alex and for everybody who says the Tibbs can't evolve. While I acknowledge that that's the one nitpick or the one area where I'd say, dude, get your starters out of the game in a blowout one way or another. He has evolved. Tibbs has been known for being what, BT, his entire career?
Very, very intense, rigid, and a taskmaster. And, running into the ground.
Okay, and what's his first... and when you
defense.
Say, bingo. And this Knicks team
is known
for what? Offense.
Yeah.
They've got an elite offense. That was the knock on Tibbs forever. Oh, he can't. His offensive system is antiquated. He'll never evolve. His offense, this, that, the. They have one of the best, if not the best, offensive team in the league by almost every metric possible.
Definitely top three, top four,
so
no doubt.
So don't tell me that he can't evolve when he has. Tom Thibodeau is the head coach of one of the best offensive teams in the league. The one knock is they're not good defensively anymore, which we know is his bread and butter.
Yep.
So is it him or is it the players that he has to work with?
I think
with?
It's the circumstances more than it. No, I'm definitely much more pro-Tibbs than not. And the other thing, too, just to back you up, because I think that's a really astute point, how he has changed. Maybe people don't see it, but they should.
Yeah.
Think about what Harden Hartenstein said the other night when they played the Thunder, he's like, hey, first of all, he just had his back, which is great to hear. And they asked Hartenstein about the minutes, and Hartenstein's like, listen, it's different here at OKC. We got 10, 11 guys. We're able to go deeper. And he also said this, and this points to change. He's like, yeah, people see the Knick players stop getting heavy minutes. And I paraphrase now, but the gist was, they don't practice as hard. Like, so he's even taking his foot off the gas in practice. He would never do that back in the day. He'd run into the ground in practice, and he'd run into the ground on game night. So he has changed.
More of your calls when we come back. BT and Sal on the Fan.
You are listening to the sounds of Heavy Winnie
Posse. Yeah. BT and Sal back on the Fan on this Thursday. We've been talking all Knicks so far. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. But BT, I know potential Jets future head coach had some interesting things to say that made you want him even more yesterday.
I don't think you could say better than this. I want to play as Aaron Glenn, obviously, who I guess through some back channels has let it be known that he absolutely really wants the Jets job. I know it's been more than anybody else, more than any other job, I should say. I know it's been pretty widely reported by now that he is very high on the list, might be the favorite at this point, that he and Flores are vying for it. So this is an interesting spot to be in now. Not that it matters, to Jets fans right now, but if I'm a Lions fan, the last thing I want is my coordinators out there talking about other teams in interviews, which is kind of what's going on. I mean, Ben Johnson, now, right. He deflected. He did a very good job. Aaron Glenn's talking about this. Flores obviously has had to wrestle with this before losing the other day. So Glenn was asked about the perception of being a defensive coach. And listen to this perfect answer.
Here's the one thing that I would say about myself. I'm a coach. I just happen to be on defense. I understand the offense just as well as a number of people. So if you want to hire me, you're going to hire a coach. You're not going to hire a defensive coach. I'm going to talk to the offense just as much as I'm going to talk to the defense.
Listen, there's some people who say things, you're like, all right, whatever. I don't believe you. I believe that. That resonates with me. And think about what he could have said, Sal. So, all right, I'm going to be Aaron Glenn. You asked me. So ask me the question. Here's what he could have said so easily. Go ahead. Ask me the question.
Yeah. What about the fact that you're just a defensive coordinator?
Well, I mean, listen, I've got great confidence in my abilities to surround myself with a great staff, and the offensive staff will know what they're doing. And, I'll empower them and delegate the job, and they'll do what they... I mean, that's what he could have said. I'm not saying that, though.
How about compare Glenn's answer to Rex's answer?
Rex's answer was, I don't know, I'll get the best staff. We'll get the best staff.
Who was on your staff? I have no idea. We're going to ground and pound it. I'm going to let hire Greg Roman or whatever. Offensive coordinator.
Thank God they're not hiring him. That was a circus.
I'll be honest with you. That comment started to open my mind a little bit. You know that I've been open to Glenn. It's not dismissive saying I don't want, a first-time defensive coordinator. It's not what I... To me, it's not the ideal situation for the Jets' current situation.
Mm-hmm.
However, hearing that solidifies his legitimacy as far as a potentially good head coach, not just a first-time head coach that is coming from the defensive side of the football. So when you hear that, it does give me belief that he can be a good head coach. I still would skew offense, if I'm going first-time head coach, I still value experience, success, offense, but I don't think Aaron Glenn would be a bad hire.
I think he'd be a really good one. To me, that sounds like a CEO.
You want him more than Flores now?
I do. I told you that the other day. To me, Aaron Glenn, well, I mean, listen, I had Vrabel was always number one,
but we know
what happened. Yeah. Aaron Glenn has jumped over Flores. I'm not saying I don't want Flores. They need to investigate why he turned into a lunatic out down there in Miami, because I think there's so much value with Brian Flores. I think he'll kick this team in the ass. I think the penalties will get cut in half. I think if you're sloppy, either in the weight room or the film room, or, you're selfish and not filling the gaps you're supposed to fill because you want to chase a sack or a different stat, you're gone, or it's going to change. Like, I really do like Flores, but Aaron Glenn to me is the guy at this point. And think about this. Like, let's just contrast this. For some reason, by the way, the Dallas Cowboys are interested. Everybody wants Robert Saleh now.
Yeah, well.
I mean, the Cowboys, the Jaguars, everybody. Come on, stop. But I forget which game it was. I don't think it was the Niners game. It wasn't the Titans game. I was there for that. I remember the stats better. Either way, it was an early game. And I remember one of the criticisms And, of course, it could have been the Denver game in the rain, whatever. They lost, of course. And, like, there was such a disparity in pass versus run. They became so pass-heavy and pass-reliant. And I remember, like, us getting on there saying, "What? First of all, the weather wasn't good, and this guy's Achilles hanging by a thread. He's thrown it 40 times. Where's the balance?" And I could promise you that Robert Sala did not walk down to the offensive part of the building and go, "Whoa, yeah, guys, what the hell are we doing here?" I guarantee Aaron Glenn will.
Yeah, Robert Sala was not an all-around head coach. We know that he was a defensive mind. Before we get back to the calls, BT,
yeah,
have a little update here.
On?
Pete Alonso.
Good or bad for if you're a Met fan that wants Pete, good or bad?
If you're a Met fan that wants Pete, I don't think it's good.
Oof.
If you're a Met fan who wants bigger and better,
Vladdy,
then I think you might be happy here. Okay, this is Ken Rosenthal less than 10 minutes ago. I just saw it come up. Pete Alonso's market is heating up. Blue Jays are in the mix.
I said them yesterday.
Alonso's market heating up with three teams, including the Blue Jays. Again, this is according to Ken Rosenthal with Will Salmon of The Athletic.
Blue Jays?
With three teams, including the Toronto Blue Jays. They're engaged in discussions for the power-hitting first baseman. League sources said if the Blue Jays landed Alonso, they'd still prefer to keep Vladimir Guerrero Jr., but
could be enticed with a nice package, basically.
But do the math.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Like that to me sounds like the Blue Jays are involved.
Yeah.
Could be a little more of an insurance plan.
Do you know the other two teams? Angels, well, maybe?
The Mets are one.
Oh, okay. Who's the other team? Angels?
It doesn't say, I don't
think. Giants? Okay, good.
Meanwhile, the New York Mets won a resolution, as the Post said. Said it first.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, 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 blah. The Mets are in active talks with other players, and it will be difficult to fit Alonso into their plans if they strike a deal in other pursuits. Okay. So the point is, though, Toronto is interested in Pete Alonso. You think Alonso's going to go there to be a DH? I think this is Toronto says, okay, Vlad's not coming to an extension. This is me just taking the information here and putting my own opinion on it based on common sense. It's Toronto saying, okay, we can't come to an agreement long-term with Vlad. Let's get Pete, who's going to produce and hit home runs, and we can get him to play first base at a good cost, and then maybe trade Vlad.
Okay, I can see why you see it that way. I don't see it quite that way.
Okay, how do you see it?
Toronto's been trying to give money away for years. Mm-hmm. Nobody's taking it. So, I don't think it quite goes like this. All right, Pete, here's our offer, and let's say Toronto, I'll just throw something wacky out. 4 years with an option, either way, whatever, $120 million, more appealing than the reported 3 years, $90 million on the table for the Mets. So I don't think it goes like this. Hey, Pete, here's the $120 million with an option, but you're the DH. I just think it's an offer that is much more appealing than anybody else, and Pete might just find that enticing enough to go with. I don't think... Now, I'm not saying that there wouldn't be machinations behind closed doors from Toronto's perspective. Hey, listen, in case we have to trade him, you know, we got this guy who's going to hit some home runs and is a decent first baseman. We got a decent plan B. But I think now I think their plan is to deploy both.
I think after I gave this some more thought yesterday after Martino's report, I think that the Mets and Vlad are a lot more serious than that report from Martino would indicate, or that any of us thought about prior. Because the Mets definitely sold Soto on something. There's no way Soto was coming here thinking that this was going to be the plan, the current Mets lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And take it a step further. Would he be okay if it were just Alonso? And if that were the case, then why wouldn't Alonso already be signed by the Mets when Alonso's camp went to the Mets with a three-year deal, with hat in hand, basically tail between the legs, three-year deal? If they told Soto, hey, we're going to bring Pete back, why wouldn't they then do that? Because I think, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but in this particular case, based off of the brilliant reporting from my colleague at SNY, Andy Martino, about the Mets already inquiring about Vladimir through the Blue Jays, based on the timeline that the Blue Jays have set that Guerrero has set, meaning no contract extension talks after the first day of spring training.
Mm-hmm.
Now you throw Toronto potentially being involved in Pete Alonso. Vlad also Dominican. Soto Dominican. Both younger players. I'm assuming they're probably friends.
Mm-hmm.
I would be willing to bet, and I don't know this, that the Mets in their pitch to Soto had eyes on Vlad, whether it be trading for him now or signing him next year. And at this particular point, I think, in my gut, Vlad is going to be a Met.
Oh, here we go.
I'm sorry to do this to you again, buddy.
Eddie's tell everybody the sweatshirt that you're wearing, just in case they're not watching.
This is the best gift I got this year. My sister and my niece and nephew, Flushing, Queens. Soto! A Soto shirt! Now we're going to have to add to it. Soto! And Vlad! I think it's happening. I don't know if it's going to happen now. I really, BT, you're telling me there's not legitimacy to what I just said?
I'm not saying that. I'm definitely not saying that. It just seems like quite the orchestration. I mean, and I'm not saying that that's implausible, but like, do you think, let me push it in a little bit of a different direction. This would be devious, but yeah. I don't rule it out. Do you think there's a chance that, you know, Vlad, no matter what Toronto puts in front of Vlad, he's not signing?
Yes.
Okay. And do you think that there's a chance through some sort of back channel intermediary, Vlad's people kind of communicated that, I'll say loosely, so there's no collusion or anything illegal going on, to the Mets, which is now, and now you drop the deadline, hey, first day of spring, I don't have it. Now there's all sorts of things going on that is emboldening the Mets to not sign Pete because they expect that Vlad's just going to force his way out to go to Queens. Is that possible?
Yes.
I think it is, too. The only thing that could sabotage that is that Toronto controls where Vlad's going.
Right.
And now, talent evaluation is very subjective. We talk about this. They might love Acuna. They might love Beatty. They might love Gilbert, all the other guys you got. But they might love, I don't know, the Angels players a lot more. I don't know. So it could be a little bit of everything, but it definitely feels real.
And you left out a key part. I agree. Toronto controls where Vlad goes for now.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, being that he's a free agent to be, the worst case scenario for the Mets would be that, well, really the worst case would be that they trade Vlad somewhere that he signs an extension. But that's up to Vlad. So if he really does want to be with the Mets, and there's reason to believe he would because he knows that they have a rich owner and maybe his guy Soto is there.
And he hates the Yanks.
Okay, so if he does, then he would probably say, okay, well, that's great. You want to trade me to the Angels? I'm not going to sign there.
Great, I'll play for a year, and then I'm going.
So outside of the worst case, which Vlad controls, whether he could hit free agency or not, the other worst case would just be that the Mets have to not punt this year, but figure out other options this year. Maybe Santander for a year, maybe Mauricio, whatever.
We can't do Santander for a year. Well, he's not coming to 44 home runs, but maybe, I got you. Something like I got you.
I don't know, maybe whoever comes.
I got you.
A shorter term thing to figure out this year.
Yeah.
And then in the offseason, he's there.
Let me give you plausible.
Yes.
Let me give you a worst case scenario.
Okay.
Vlad Guerrero gets dealt somewhere. It's not the Mets.
Right.
He signs somewhere. And Pete says, screw you.
Understood.
I'm out.
Again, much like my risk with Mitch, I'm willing to take that risk.
You're a gambling man.
Ooh. High risk, high reward.
Hoff, you excited? What do you think about this?
Vladdy's coming off! Come on, baby!
You mean to tell me that David Stearns, who's been sitting there playing, you know, ball with Pete Alonso, that he's going to, you know, I'm not moving from this number these years. All of a sudden, he's going to cave to a Toronto Blue Jays trade? I don't think...
Not cave.
No, he's doing it to get Vladdy.
I think he wants to do it.
No. But my point is, you think that the Blue Jays are just going to hand them over for like a bag of balls?
No, I don't.
He's going to want that top prospect.
Yeah, and Stearns is going to do it.
But you do it because it's Vlad Guerrero.
Half these guys Stearns didn't even bring in anyway, Hoff. This is Epler's team.
Hold on a second. You're killing me, both of you. The fact that you're going to sit there, all these prospects that they're trying to build up, and all of a sudden you're just going to trade them away, all five of them, for a rental player that you're not guaranteed to sign.
Yes.
Oh, hello, Juan Soto, part two.
Yes.
Do we not learn from the Yankees last year?
Yes, you do it every time.
No. Hoff, maybe you're cutting some sound.
That's how you turn it to Brian Cashman. Brian Cashman, how do you feel about not having Juan Soto on the team and trade away five guys for nothing?
What is your obsession with Alonso?
Yeah, he's turning on his neck.
It's not Alonso. I don't think you're going to I don't think that...
Trust Stearns. Hoff is so mad.
He doesn't trust Stearns.
No, I don't.
He doesn't.
That's the problem.
How's the pitching staff?
January
16th still.
Oh, the pitching staff, I believed in much more than Canning Griffin or Griffin Canning, whatever the hell's his name is. Come on.
Hoff is so mad and hurt by
Look at that stupid hat on his head.
He's got a hat hanging
with the big thing.
100 years, baby. 100 years.
He's so upset about the Alonso potential now with the Mets. He brought in the Mets schedule, the giveaway for this year.
Yes,
he comes in, I'm like, what's this? He's like, oh, it's the giveaways for the Mets. We're like, okay, well, so what about it? He goes, no Alonso stuff.
Yeah. And why would there be? Not on the contract.
Hey, David Wright and Hello Kitty are on there.
And Vlad Jr. soon. I really feel it.
Hey, Vlad, the Hello Kitty, there's a global demand for that. I don't even think a team in baseball wants Pete.
The KBO. I told you.
Beanie Babies are probably more in demand than Pete at this point from 20 years ago.
Hey, oh, God. I really hope the Blue Jays sign Pete.
Oh, God.
Expedite the process. You know what I'm saying, BT?
Like, yeah, I do. I know what he's saying.
When you start to connect the dots and think, well, what the hell is going on here? Did the Mets really want Pete? And Stearns, despite the lack of trust maybe from Hoff or Beningo or some others or Mets fans, despite that, he's smart. He may be playing chess. Everybody else playing checkers. All of a sudden, you quickly go from the thought of losing Pete to the thought of gaining Vlad. And there isn't a person that I talked to yesterday via text that wasn't as pumped up as you could be about the idea of the dream of pairing Guerrero with Soto.
I'm going to say that. I know we got a break here. We'll come back. We'll get these calls. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal. If you guys get Vladdy, I am going to point my cannon right in the Bronx. And I am going to scream every day, you better get somebody else. Pony up 7 years for Bregman. I don't even really want. Do something.
You're going to have TJ LeMay. You're starting at that.
No,
well, she was just 17. You know what I mean. And the way she looked.
BT and Sal back on the fan. Let's get some calls in here, BT. I know we talked about the Aaron Glenn stuff, but obviously with the news of the latest news that Ken Rosenthal had about Vladimir Guerrero and the Mets potentially, or Pete Alonso, I should say, and then the Mets potentially being interested in Vladimir Guerrero off of yesterday. Let's get some calls in on that. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Joe is in Brooklyn. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing today?
Good. How are you, Joe?
Good, good. I think the Mets need to stop playing games. We got to go all in. Jet Williams, Drew Gilbert, Kelvin Parada, Brett Beatty, Alex Ramirez, Given McNeil, Given Marte, whatever they want.
I think the Mets might, and outside of, and thank you for the call, Joe, outside of Vientos, now remember, too, BT, a big part of this is Stearns is still new in this organization.
Yep.
A lot of these guys are Billy Epler's guys.
I know.
So why not? If you don't believe in Jet Williams, or you don't believe, I'm not saying he should or shouldn't, I don't know, I'm not watching Jet Williams every day, I like his potential, but...
you're not going to hang the hat on Jet, not that he couldn't be good, but no, you make the trade, but they might want Vientos.
That I'm not doing.
You have to.
Well, no. No, they don't.
I'm going to send him to the Angels as well. Have fun with Pete.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and then I'll just sign him in the offseason. Like,
if you don't sign him in the offseason?
Well, I mean, that's a different story.
But it could be part of the story to me, and I don't want to give up Vientos either. Yeah. I really like Mark Vientos. But if it's like, hey, we have a deal right now.
I'm not giving up Vientos. Nope.
Would you?
No, not at all. For a rental player, not even close.
I'm in a position of power here where I say, look, As we alluded to yesterday.
You do have the hammer here a little bit. I don't disagree with that.
You could either trade him now and get this. Yeah. You could have our top three guys if you want.
Uh-huh.
Or
you could
keep him, and then I'm just going to sign him anyway in the offseason.
Like Denver. You know, like Denver with the Knicks back in the day with Carmelo. Yeah. Like you knew he wanted to leave.
Yeah, the Knicks screwed that one up.
They screwed it up. Yeah. But the point was Denver had to do something because they knew he was bouncing.
Right. So Toronto's going to know.
Toronto would think that Vlad's going to bounce.
And to your point, they could trade him elsewhere. But I'm also operating, and I admit that this is just an assumption, but I just get the feel, if you do the math, there's got to be some connection with Vlad and Soto and some back channel inner discussions about the possibility, a la LeBron, Wade, and Bosh.
Oh, like Bosh. All right, let's have a little fun. Leading off for the Mets, batting first is...
I hate this because to me, Lindor should not project as a leadoff hitter, but he's going to be a leadoff hitter. Because
batting second for the Mets is, under the assumption that Vlad is here, that's why we're doing this.
I know. I would go, I'm going to go Vientos number two.
I like it, actually.
I know. You said that first.
Now batting for the Metropolitans, right fielder Juan Soto.
Yep.
In the four hole at first base, Mr. Flatty.
Man.
God.
Starting to get a sports semi.
All right. Semi? I mean, you're getting old now. If this doesn't give you full, I mean, you got
semi?
I don't
know how else to say it. Sports semi is alliteration. I know what I'm saying?
I got you.
But believe me.
Just be careful. I hear you. Yeah. All right. So Lindor, Vientos, Soto, Vlad. I mean, this should be full rage. Number five. This should be prom night stuff. Number five.
Does it matter?
Yes,
it does. First four, does it matter?
Nimmo?
Now, by the way.
Who's batting five? Nimmo?
Yes, I would have Nimmo five. All right. By the way, quickly. Would you consider Lindor, Soto, Vladdy?
Or Lindor, Soto,
or how about Lindor, Vladdy. Lindor, Vladdy, Soto?
I don't want Vladdy second.
I'm big lefty-righty, breaking them
I'm
up.
I'm not as worried about but, because the relievers have to face three guys.
Now, why not?
That doesn't mean as much. I get it, but meh.
Why not big Vladdy second? Just give Vientos the protection and then have Vladdy putting up
love,
Soto.
Yeah, this I've said this for months. I love the notion. No, I like the notion of Soto getting protected by Judge
more than I like
the notion of Soto protecting Vientos. But, you know, Vientos in the two spot with Soto behind him, with it, having his back, it's perfect.
Let's keep going because this is. So Lindor, Vientos, Soto, Vladdy, Nimmo.
Six.
Alvarez.
Okay.
Oh.
But you better hope Alvarez is complaining. Yeah, we don't know.
He's hitting sixth. He's going to hit 20 homers easy. Easy.
Right, let's not go. No, I mean, he could. But,
we're beyond the point. Let's not go next.
We'll keep playing. Seventh. McNeil.
Where are we at here? Short, third,
second base.
Right,
you need
first.
You need
left,
a second baseman.
A second center field DH.
Probably series seven.
Yeah,
he can run. He's got power.
Yeah, I'd probably go McNeil. Let's say as currently constructed.
I think I go Siri.
I would go Siri later. Maybe Acuna. Whatever you want to go.
I would go Siri. Hear me out. Siri, McNeil, Acuna.
Yeah. Okay.
Finish it out lower third. Because I don't really want Siri yet, but it doesn't matter.
Fine, like it matters.
Well, I don't love Siri batting ninth because he's a strikeout machine and he very well might hit 190, even though he can run and he's got pop. So I'd rather, eventually he's gonna hit. So I don't know if it's perfect, but I don't want him in front of Lindor to maybe snuff out rallies as you get into the top third of the order. That's like my mindset, putting Siri seven rather than nine. And McNeil's a contact guy. And
I'd probably go McNeil behind Alvarez, Siri 8, and then I'd go Acuna 9.
I mean, I'm not going to go
and
nuts
again,
with that either.
Or if not Acuna in the lineup, whatever, like Marte, I mean, if that's your DH, I don't care. I really don't. If it's Vlad there, scary thing is I really do think that this is, I actually think it's going to happen.
You really think it's going
to
happen?
I don't expect it to happen the way that it did with Soto. I'm starting to get the gut feel that it is going to happen.
By when?
I think this season.
Give me a month. I know you think this season. Are we talking before you guys get down to Port St. Lucie?
Yeah.
You think so?
I think early spring training. Because the way that it plays out, if I'm correct, that would be the math to get him there early spring training because of the deadline. If they don't come to an agreement, now this could all blow up. Obviously, if he signs an extension, then my whole plan is foiled. That's it. End of story.
Mm-hmm.
But the way to get him to the Mets, especially now, no extension. The Blue Jays say, all right, well, we tried to sign him, much like the Nationals did with Soto years ago, and then say, we have no choice. We've got to trade him because we can't risk losing him for nothing.
Yeah, and the Padres with Soto. Forget about the Nationals.
Yeah. All right.
Can I give you the alternate universe?
Sure.
Vlad, I could say anything right now. He'll laugh. He's giddy. I don't blame you, potentially. So let's say Vlad, I don't think he's going to hit 40 home runs in the city. Let's say Vlad hits 306, which he's done a few times.
Yeah.
Also some fluctuations, we'll ignore that for now. 306, let's go with 31 doubles. Let's go with 34 home runs. Let's go with batting fourth. Jeez, with Soto and Vientos and Lindor. Let's go with 115 RBIs. But he doesn't want to sign. And he goes to free agency. And he goes to the Bronx.
Yeah, okay.
Could you just imagine?
The opposite.
That's why I say alternate universe.
It would be the exact opposite of what happened with Soto a year ago. Yep. So, hey, look, it's possible until he's locked up. I don't know if King Cone will let him hit free agency, though. I don't know if that's a play they say, hey, go test the market. That's a play they say, hey, we got you here. Let's keep you here. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019.